Hello, and welcome to this Microsoft TechNet session on the use of LogParser 2.2. LogParser is a tool that you can use to generate reports based on a wide variety of log files on your Microsoft Internet Information Services 6.0 web server. Let us start this session by going into more detail on exactly what we will be covering. Today, we are looking at LogParser, a powerful tool for queries against text-based data such as log files, XML and CSV files, as well as key data sources on the Windows operating system such as the event log, the registry, the file system and Active Directory. We are going to introduce you to LogParser 2.2. Describe the input and output formats that it can handle, and demonstrate how to use the tool. We will show you how to use LogParser functions and output templates, as well as demonstrate how to use the tool's checkpoint functionality. We will also discuss how to create IIS-specific LogParser queries, as well as the LogParser version that is based on a COM object. This COM object allows you to run scripts against LogParser using C# and Microsoft Visual Basic. As with most TechNet sessions, some prior experience of Microsoft technologies or similar technologies is always helpful. Here's a brief overview of what would be helpful, but not essential, for this session. As we go through today's session, you will hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we will explain all new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or other versions of Microsoft products we may not spend time on. To help you out, we have listed out the areas that it may be helpful to be familiar with, either prior to this session or to reference afterwards. It would be helpful to have some IT administration experience with Microsoft Windows Server 2003 and Internet Information Services. It would also be helpful for you to be familiar with the format of IIS log files, how the event log works, and SQL syntax. To cover the topics mentioned on the earlier slide and keep the session flow going, we have divided the session into the following agenda. Today we will focus on using LogParser 2.2 with Windows Server 2003 computers running IIS 6.0. To start, we'll discuss LogParser basics. These fundamental concepts will help you to understand the workings of LogParser and the options that you can specify so that LogParser will read different log formats, and the options that you can specify so that LogParser will generate different output formats. Then we are going to discuss how to build queries specific to IIS, moving on to queries against the Windows event logs and the file system. We are going to demo some of these queries using a number of examples of LogParser on IIS servers, so that you can see LogParser in action on real data and see how you can leverage it in your environment. Our final topic is the COM architecture using LogParser.dll that is available for LogParser, allowing you to use LogParser in scripts and web pages. Before we get to the heart of our presentation, let's briefly discuss what the LogParser tool is. Many of you may have heard of LogParser before, but maybe don't know what the tool is and what it does. LogParser is a powerful tool that allows you to run queries against text-based data such as log files, XML files, and CSV files, as well as other key data sources on the Windows operating system such as the event log, the registry, the file system, and Active Directory. To run LogParser, you will need to define some things, such as input, query, and output. You'll need to specify some input data. Then, you need to give LogParser instructions on what to do with the input data. You input these instructions in the form of a query, and the query defines how you want the SQL engine to extract the data from the input sources. Finally, you'll need to specify an output format. This can be a custom-based text format or targeted to a more specific speciality such as SQL, syslog, or a graphical chart. There are many possibilities of input and output formats. There are also many different ways to go from one to the other. The query language supports most of the true SQL query language syntax and also extends the language with some additional functions. While SQL may present a steep learning curve if you are unfamiliar with it, once you become proficient, the tool will become very powerful. There are two versions of LogParser. The first is a command prompt-based tool, and the second is a COM object that allows you to execute commands from a script, either in a web page or as a standalone script file. The two versions offer the same functionality. Let's return briefly to our agenda. Let's get started with the basics you need to know about LogParser. First, we shall look at the parsing model for LogParser and the input and output formats that LogParser supports. One of the features of LogParser is the number of potential input formats that it is capable of dealing with. There are the standard formats of IIS logs, HTTP errors, URL scan, and ODBC. There are the Windows operating system data sets of the Windows event log, the Windows registry, and Active Directory. You can also use LogParser to query the file system and the file and directory structure, as well as Netmonitor to capture files, enterprise tracing for Windows log files, and any number of different XML or comma or tab separated files. To process all of these file types, LogParser uses an SQL-like engine. This core engine processes the records generated by the input format using an SQL dialect that includes common SQL clauses, aggregate functions, and functions. The core engine then sends the results to the output format that you have specified. When the output format receives the data from the SQL engine, it formats the data for you. You can choose between NAT for tabulated columns, CSV or TSV for comma or tab separated values, XML, the WC3 extended log file format, TPL, which follows a user-defined template for output, or the Microsoft IIS log file format. There are also a number of special purpose output formats, such as SQL, which uploads your data to a table in an SQL database, syslog, which sends your data to a syslog server, DataGrid, which will display your data in a graphical user interface, or finally Chart, which will create image files charting the extracted data. Now that we have seen the structure of LogParser, let's have a look at how to use it on the command line. LogParser is a command line utility, and it only has two mandatory syntax elements. The first is the command name, LogParser, and we'll touch on the second in our next slide. LogParser will deduce the input format based upon the file that is used as the source and will, by default, output the resulting data to the command window in tabulated column format unless other output settings are specified. The real power of LogParser comes from using the input and output formats. We'll cover those in detail in just a few minutes. Now let's take a look at the second required section of a log parser command, the SQL query. The second required section of a log parser command is the SQL query. You can build the query using clauses such as select, from, and where, and then specify file names, parameter switches, and other fields. A typical query would begin with the select clause. The complexity of the query would depend upon how much and the type of data that you want to obtain. Probably the most basic complete SQL query that you can create is select star from 1. This selects all the lines in the log file that relate to the IIS site number 1 and will echo them to the command prompt. This query isn't very useful, since it will display only the raw data and perform no transformation of that data. However, this example query should give you a sense of a log parser command and query. We're now going to move into our first demonstration, which shows us how to specify an input format and create a log parser query. First, we are going to demonstrate the use of the command line help to give the details of the input and output options. Then we are going to create a simple query and run that through the log parser. Finally, we are going to expand on that simple query by specifying input and output parameters for log parser to use. We begin by looking at the command prompt tool, which is available through all programs. After the tool is open, we display log parser help. This is a long list, so we add the more command to see only a screen at a time. The first piece of information the command prompt help displays is the usage pattern for log parser. It displays how to enter the input format and output format that you want to use for a particular log parser query. While you aren't required to use input and output formats, doing so makes log parser a much more powerful tool, and we recommend that you use these entries with every log parser query you create. We also have the SQL query section that we need to include in our log parser command. There are two ways to do this. The first is to type it at the command prompt. If you do this, you must include quotation marks around the query. The second way is to store it in a file and then refer to that file from the tool with a file colon and the file name. We will use both techniques during our presentation today. In addition, a section gives us the details of the types of input formats we can use with log parser. There is IIS W3C, IIS ODBC, and the IIS binary log format. These all have a lot to do with IIS, of course. However, there is also the EVT input format, which stands for the event log. The event log presents plenty of events that are associated with IIS, but also includes events from other areas on your system from which you may be interested in returning a report. We also have the REG input format, which stands for the registry, and FS, which stands for file system. Help also outlines the output formats available to you with log parser. There is W3C and IIS. XML is available as well, but only in log parser 2.2. This broad array of input and output formats is what makes log parser so powerful and flexible. Finally, help offers usage examples. This is a good place for you to get started on how to use log parser. Log parser offers detailed help on how to use each input and output format, as well as functions. Let's review the help for the event log input format, just to show you how detailed the help information is. If we enter log parser -h, -i:EVT, we'll get that information. We have a description of the parameters and what they do. However, The most interesting part of this help section can be found in the fields. We have the names of each field and the associated types. S stands for string, I stands for integer, and T stands for timestamp. These fields are the data that the input format takes or that the output format returns. LogParser also has a number of functions you can use. You can type -h functions to display the full list. For each function, help lists the number of arguments and the type assigned to each. This can be useful when you are trying to determine which LogParser functions to call in your query. Another great place for you to start to learn about LogParser is in its help file, which you install with the tool. It contains all of this information in a searchable .chm file. Now we'll create a simple query so that you can get a feel for the types of things LogParser can do. Let's start by reviewing a log file. We have a list of IIS log files for our default website that are listed in date order. When we open one of these logs, there is a fields line. There are data and time fields, an S-IP field, which contains the IP address for each request, a field for the success code for the request, and several others. LogParser treats these fields like columns in a database table. You can request info from the date field or from the server IP field. Now we run our simple query. We want to select data, so we use the select statement. And we want to select the URI from the site level down, so we use cs-uri-stem. We also want to know what the various response statuses were. For account, we want as many as we can take. Now we come to the interesting part. We use the from clause to define where we want to get our data, and we can use the asterisk wildcard to stand in for all files. Therefore, when we type ex*.log, we are telling LogParser to return data from all files that begin with E and X and end in the log file extension. Then we tell the tool to group our results by the URL and status for a request. LogParser returns our first batch of information to the console. It displays the URLs to several pages, the status each page returned, and the number of requests IIS processed for each page. There are only 10 entries though, and the tool prompts us to press a key. We now get the next 10 entries. We will show you how to modify that in just a little bit. LogParser has returned a variety of status codes to us. What if we wanted to thin that out? While 200 status codes are great, they mean success after all. They don't help us troubleshoot any problems. We break to our active command prompt and change our query a little. This time, we'll add a where clause to eliminate all 200 status codes. We type where sc status does not equal 200, then we press enter. We have no entries with a status code of 200. Now we can review the pages that have redirect codes, or file not found or server unavailable codes. As we continue through our entries, we find no 200 status codes at all. This is an example of how you can narrow the information returned in a LogParser report. Let's talk a bit about input and output formats. Our two simple queries have not included either. LogParser uses the query you define to make a guess about which input format and output format to use. it uses the from clause to determine the input format. In this case, it uses the ex prefix and .log file extension to ascertain that this is a standard W3C log file. Also, since we did not define an output format, LogParser uses the native output format, which is the standard for output onto the command prompt. What if we wanted to output to a file? We can do that easily enough by adding a right angle bracket and the name of the file we want to create at the end of our request. We don't get an active command prompt back, however. Let's check our new file we wrote to as well. We open Windows Explorer and go to the directory where we are working. When we open the file, there are only 10 entries and it tells us to press any key. Let's close the file, return to the command prompt and press Enter until we escape writing to the file. We mentioned this limitation of the native output format before, but how do we get around that? The command prompt help tells us that the RTP parameter controls this behaviour. If we use that parameter and set it to -1, the native output format prints the entire result set from the query without pausing. We also find that 10 is the default number of records to print before pausing. Let's change our query command one more time. We add the -RTP:-1 parameter at the end of our query and then specify our results file. When we open that file, we find all of the results from our query. Now let's take a look at the built-in functions in LogParser. Functions are a powerful feature of LogParser. They allow you to do some fairly complex transformations of the data that you extract with ease. To get a list of the functions that are available, you can use the -h functions parameter to the LogParser command. LogParser offers conversion routines that convert data from the current format to a format specified by the function. These include conversion to a timestamp, conversion to the local time, and conversion to an integer. LogParser also provides string handling routines that allow you to get the string length, substrings of the string beginning at a specified location and having a given length, and appending one string to another. You can also use functions that allow you to do other complex tasks, such as a reverse DNS lookup to give a host name from an IP address, get to the nearest multiple of a given number, get to the file extension portion of a file name, or a more complex programming concept like a case statement. We will provide some hands-on work with these functions in just a few minutes in our next demo. Before that, though, let's have a look at some of these functions in more detail. In this statement, you can see the use of nested functions. This code converts a log file date stamp that is currently in UTC time, or Greenwich Mean Time, to the local time. It's exactly in the same format. This is something that the W3SVC log files cannot do from IIS. We take the date and time and then use the to timestamp function to create a complete timestamp. Then we use the to local time function to convert the timestamps to the local time. Lastly, we use the to date and to time functions respectively to convert the timestamps back into a date and time. The log file we convert is specified in the from statement at the end of the code. We are going to see how this works in our next demo. In this demo, we are going to show you the log parser example that we just showed you. Then we are going to show you an SQL query to find the time taken per virtual directory. These statistics are not available through the performance monitor. You can only aggregate them through manipulating data from the log files. Let's start with a fairly simple demo. One of the first fields in the log file is the date and time of the request to the path. We are going to run the script we just went over and review the results. Let's go to the demo directory for this sample and we'll run our query from there. We open the query file first. It is the same query we talked about just a few minutes ago. It converts the date and time from UTC to local time. The new log file will be stored in our current directory rather than in the log files directory for the default website. Let's run log parser over this query. We use the file command and specify the SQL file we just had open. And it finishes quickly. Now let's compare our two log files. First, we open up the one we just generated with our query. And then bring up the other. The log file now states that the requests came in at a little after 5 on the afternoon of the 16th, rather than at a little past midnight on the 17th. This can be a helpful task to make your files more useful to you. This next demonstration is a little more complex. It provides you with useful information about the time that it takes for applications running in separate virtual directories. Let's run this demo first and then talk about what the query does. We have a listing of virtual directories on our site, with the number of hits for each listed in the log file against which we queried and measuring the amount of time it takes for IIS to serve a URL out of that virtual directory. Log parser displays some of the times it takes for the server to serve each file or resource. The files that return a large number of seconds in the byte column may be files we want to investigate more. There may be a way to improve their performance. You can investigate the logs more closely to determine on which pages the server responds slowly and make corrections as necessary. Using processing time like this can be a helpful diagnostic tool. Since you can use this script to determine the pages in which virtual directory the server returns in a reasonable amount of time. Now let's open the query we used to generate this report. we use a case statement to create a conditional output for a column. The extract token function call tells us that we should only use virtual directories, not the files in our root website. If extract token returns null, we know we are dealing with something that is in a virtual directory. Extract prefix gives us the name of the virtual directory. With the quantize command, we tell the tool to return the seconds associated with any request in the 100. Therefore, a request that takes 18 seconds to return would read in our report as 1800. This is a complicated example, but it can give you a good sense for virtual directory performance. Let's talk about what output templates are and how you can use them. Logparser's command prompt help on output templates can be accessed by using the -h -o:tpl parameters. A template consists of three sections, a header and a footer which are optional, and a body section that is written repeatedly for each output record. The body section can contain special variables that are substituted at runtime with values computed during the execution of the query, such as values and names of output record fields and the number of fields in the output records. The body is where you search for results from your log parser operation. There are two ways that templates can be specified: raw format templates or structured format templates. Raw format templates have the three sections specified as three different files, given in the command line parameters tpl for the body and tpl header and tpl footer for the header and footer sections respectively. In the structured format, a single template file contains the header, body, and footer section, each enclosed with special LP header, LP body, and LP footer tags. Templates are the ideal way to get well-structured and well-presented reports from LogParser. Here we have an example output template. The header, as you might expect, comes first. It opens the HTML page, includes any title we want to display, and creates the table in which we will insert our data into. The body has table rows that contain data from our query. The template closes with a footer, which closes the table, body, and HTML tags for the page. This allows you to create an HTML output page without writing any script. All you have to do is save your template into a template file and then run LogParser using this template output. Let's see a demonstration that shows us how to use output templates to create reports. We are going to use output templates to create some reports that give us the details of broken links and also to show us new W3 SVC messages in the system event logs. We go to our demo directory and open our SQL query in Notepad. The idea behind this sample is that we have a website and people have linked to it from other websites across the internet. When we change or update the links on our website, the people who have linked to our site will now have broken links to our website. Our query selects the referrers and URLs from our log file and puts these broken links into a web file, brokenlinks.html. We want to include all the log files in the directory for our website. Also, we only want this to give us data for referrers that are not null, and only when the status of the page is 404, which means the server cannot find the file. We also don't want to know substatus or if the substatus is equal to zero. Let's turn our attention to our output template before we run our query. The template, again, is what we use to format our output. First, we have the LP header, which stands for Log Parser header. Log Parser inserts all the header information directly into the output file as is. Next, we have the LP body tags, and inside the body, the percent signs refer to the output that we specified in the query. Remember, referrer and URL from the query. These are the fields in which Log Parser will display that data in the HTML file it generates. Now we run our query. As we showed you earlier, we will use the file name to specify the query. This time, however, we do specify an output format using -O:TPL. We also specify a -TPL parameter to define the file in which we defined our template. After we've defined the two files, we can run this query and it should give us an HTML file to review the broken links to our website. If we use the dir command, the HTML file is there now, so let's open it. The page displays broken links to a news HTML file and some images and stories that would have been displayed. What this means is that the requests for these pages are getting 404 code sent back. We can contact the referrer if we want to let them know that we no longer offer a news page or news stories on our site. That is just one type of output template. Our next sample retrieves IIS-related information from the event log. We select time generated and event type name. The latter tells us if the event is a warning, an error, or simply informational. We also select the message that comes along with the output. We also use a case statement that tells us what shade the cells in the HTML table will be for each event type. We have red for errors, yellow for warnings, and white for informational events. The table will display every other cell with a blue background. This isn't a necessary part of our query, but it does show us that we can specify our HTML output from our query. The into clause defines the HTML file that the query writes to, while the from clause defines system. This means that our data source is the system event log. From that event log, we select the W3 SVC source name, since we want to get all IIS related events from the event log. Now let's review our template. This is similar to our previous demo, although a little more complex. Our header sets up our table headings and includes a style sheet. In the log parser body, we have the cells that are associated with the data we receive from the query and the color that we defined in the query. Finally, we have the footer that closes our table and HTML file. Now we close up the template file and find out what we get when we run our query. We use file and the query file name and then specify TPL as our output format and then the file in which we defined our template. Then we check whether the file.html file is in our directory, which it is. Let's open it. We have entries in the event log that reach back to early October 2006. The point is that templates provide a simple way to provide report-style output for log parser queries. Let's have another look at our agenda and move on to the next topic. Now we are going to look at using Log Parser to build queries specifically relating to IIS. we'll start by discussing IIS-supported input formats. As we mentioned earlier, LogParser has a large number of acceptable input formats, and many of them relate directly to IIS. These include the IIS input format, which parses IIS log files in the Microsoft IIS log file format. There is also the IIS ODBC input format, which returns database records from the tables logged to by IIS when you configure it to log in the ODBC log format. We also have IIS W3C, which parses IIS log files in the W3C extended log file format. This is the default input format for IIS. There is the bin format, which parses IIS log files in the centralized binary log file format. NCSA parses web server log files in the NCSA common, combined and extended log file formats. W3C parses text files in the W3C extended log file format. HTTPer parses HTTP error log files generated by http.sys. And URLscan parses log files generated by the URLscan IIS filter. It is worth noting that the IIS WC3 input is different from the W3C input, as the format does not support log files that have varying numbers or positions of fields. All of the log entries in the files must be structured identically, as they are declared by the first hash fields directive encountered in the first log file. The next step is to choose the fields in the input format that are of interest. You can use the LogParser command line help to show you the details of the fields that are available for each of the predefined input formats. You can do this using the -h parameter with -i colon and the name of the input format you want to use. For example, you can call the help function and specify the IIS W3C input format after the colon. LogParser then returns all of the possible input fields available to you for the IIS W3C input format. There is another alternative to help you choose your fields of interest. You can also find details of all the fields that are available for each of the input formats in the LogParser help. It's organized like a typical help file. So to find the same information we discussed in the previous slide, you can simply navigate to the pages about the IIS W3C input format. Now that you have decided on the fields that interest you, you need to build an SQL query. At a minimum, each SQL query has to contain a select and a from statement. Everything else is optional, although for anything of real use, you will obviously have to be a bit more explicit. There are some shorthand methods available to you, for example, using from IIS site ID instead of entering the entire path to the IIS log file will query the IIS metabase to determine the location of the log files for that site. You can use any of the basic syntactic queries such as select, using, into, from, where, and so on. Data can be reduced to only include relevant items by the use of expressions such as all, any, between, in, and like. And data can also be operated on by functions as we discussed earlier. We have defined the input and the query. Now we need to look at the output. If you make no specific selections about the output format, LogParser will default to NAT format, that is to say, tabulated columns. You can, of course, choose any of the possible output methods that we mentioned earlier, such as the data grid output format. Alternatively, you can present your results graphically using the chart output format. Charts frequently displayed trends and data sets that, if they were displayed in a tabulated format, could be difficult to see. Log parser supports displaying output data in a variety of chart outputs. Log parser allows you to generate charts to visibly represent data output. In order for this to work, you need to install the Microsoft Office 2003 Web Components add-in on the computer where you run Log Parser. You do not need a full Office installation, only the add-in. However, you can install the add-in on a Windows XP computer that has the Office suite installed, run Log Parser on that computer, and use the network path to the server or servers that host the log files that you want to run Log Parser against. Let's look at an example of an IIS-specific query. Now that we have looked at the different elements of an IIS-specific log parser query, let's look at an example. This command first instructs log parser to use the logs table output format. It then tells the tool to select data from all log files that begin with EX. The to lowercase function tells the tool to ignore case in the file name. Next, the extract extension function excludes all log entries that end in GIF, JPG, and PNG. This excludes any log entries for three of the main URLs that end in these types of image files. It also excludes any log entries that resulted in an SC status of 404. Therefore, the report we receive will contain no information about requests that returned a page not found error. Finally, we see that the input format is IISW3C and that the command exports the return data to an SQL database. An interesting development is what we mentioned briefly earlier, that you can create graphics as your output format. Let's go into detail on that. One of the Log Parser 2.2 features allows you to generate graphics as a result of your query. This can be very helpful in situations where you want to see data results visually rather than in a tabular format. For example, if you want to see a breakdown of the types of HTTP status codes that your server returned for a particular log file or set of log files, you could use a pie chart. We'll see an example of this in a few minutes. When you specify a chart output format, Log Parser uses the Microsoft Office Web Components Chart Space object model to generate the chart of your choice. Column charts, bar charts, pie charts, and scatter charts are just a few of the many types of charts you can generate. We'll see a larger list in just a few minutes in our next demo. To use this functionality in Log Parser, you must install the Microsoft Office Web Components, which Microsoft first released for Office XP, and released a version of these components for Office 2003 as well. You don't need Office installed on your server to use these components in Log Parser, just the web components. However, if you happen to have Office installed, you can use Microsoft Excel to view the chart types available to you. You can also export the charts in such a way that you can open them in Excel. We have a demonstration that shows how you can generate charts from log file data using Log Parser. In this demonstration, we are going to show how to generate charts using Log Parser. First, we will demonstrate how to generate a hits per hour chart, and then we will generate a chart with the percentage of different status codes returned by our web server. This example comes from a question that many IIS administrators ask us. Is there a way to determine at what time of day the fewest requests arrive at our server? We want to time server upgrades or changes to our website so that we disrupt service to as few people as possible. We have a query here that we can use to determine this, named hit spread SQL. This query sends information from all log files and puts it into a chart. First, we select the date timestamp from the log files. The query converts it to local time, and then takes just the hour component and converts that to a string. It then does a count over all the hours and tells us how many hits we have received. We run it against all of our log files, put the output into a GIF file, and then we group it by hours. Before we run this example, let's review the chart type attribute in our command prompt help. The first parameter is the chart type parameter, which allows you to define the type of chart that you want. There are many options here, but if you have Microsoft Excel installed, you can use its help to read about the different types of charts you can use. The chart type we are going to use for this demo is radar line filled. This is an optional parameter for our chart type attribute. Let's run our query. Since our VPC image has not been a live server, we don't have enough data to make a good representative graph here. So we'll review a GIF file generated from a live website that gets plenty of traffic. The image shows us the time distribution of the hit volume in our radar graph. Midnight is at the top of the graph, noon at the bottom, and each ring in the circle represents 10,000 hits. The highest usage here ranges from 10 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon, but there is still a significant number of incoming hits beginning between 4 and 5 a.m. till after 1 a.m. If this was your website and you wanted to take it offline for maintenance or an update, the best time appears to be around 3 in the morning. Let's also determine the status code breakdown of our site. This example arises out of questions that we have received about tools that can break down the different status codes their websites are sending out. We want to know the percentage of our pages for which the server sends a success status code, and what percentage returns 404 and other non-successful status codes. This query can help us determine that. This query selects the status of every request and then does a count. Therefore, we will have a number for how many times our site generates a 404 status and how many times it generates a 200. It then puts the data into a GIF file-based chart. Last, we order and group the data by status code. We'll run our query, and again we're going to use a GIF image from a live website to demonstrate something real that you might find on your servers. LogParser has broken the requests coming into the different status codes that your server has sent in response to incoming requests. We've displayed the data in the exploded pie chart. What we have here on the right are all of our 200 status codes. Success. So our server responds with success to just a little more than half of the incoming requests to our server. The other major status code it responds with is 401, which is on the left of our chart here. This is the unauthorized status code, which means that the user does not have permissions to view a page or has submitted the wrong credentials to view the page, which typically does not reflect a problem with your server. The total between successful and unauthorized requests appears to be between 90 and 95% of incoming requests. So really, we aren't running into huge problems here. There is a smattering of 404s, file not found status codes, and a few others. But the site represented by this graph is running as well as you could hope for according to this graph. Let's return to our agenda one last time. Our next topic will be about the LogParser.com architecture, allowing you to include log parser in scripts and web pages. Let's look at the building blocks of logparser.com. Logparser not only comes as a command prompt tool, but also as a com object. This allows you to instantiate the object from code and allows you to perform data mining tasks and transformations from a web page or standalone script files. We delivered the com version of the tool in the logparser.dll assembly. Before you use this version of logparser, you have to register that DLL on your system on which you are going to run logparser. All of this is pretty straightforward. Let's look at the object that logparser.com allows you to script against. Let's talk about the steps you need to take to use the com version of logparser in a script. msutil.logquery is the primary object that you will create to access logparser functionality from a script. You need to create an instance of this object to access the logparser engine. You also need to create instances of input and output formats. The com object offers all input and output formats through the com object. In other words, once you create the logquery object, you can create an instance of the input format and output format that you want for your query. You use these objects to construct a query. We'll see a code example of this in just a minute. After you have created these objects, you need to run your query. You can use one of two methods to do so. The execute method returns a log record set object that allows the script to parse the results of the query as you want. The execute batch method runs your query with a pre-specified output target, such as an SQL database or a file, whatever you specify in your query. Let's look at a bit of sample code to make better sense of this. In this example, we begin by creating an instance of the msutil.logquery object, named obj.logquery. Next, we create an IIS W3C input format and a W3 output format. Next, we create the SQL query to run and use the execute batch method to run the query. Notice that the arguments used by the execute batch method include the query, the input format, and the output format. Let's discuss another feature found in logparser 2.2, incremental parsing using checkpoints. With logparser 2.2, you can parse only those entries in a log file or event log that were not included in previous log parser passes. As you've seen earlier in our presentation, you can use the ex*.log syntax to incrementally parse all files in a directory. Also, you can use the angle bracket site number syntax to parse all files associated with a single website, or you can specify system to parse items in the system event log. Using checkpoints requires you to specify a checkpoint file in your logparser command. This file always ends in a .cpl extension. We'll have a look at this in a minute in our next demonstration. Why is a checkpoint something we want to draw your attention to? Because incremental parsing can allow you to set up notifications for yourself when something changes. It also does not require as much overhead to run an incremental parse as it does a full parse of a set of log files. Our demo will show you how to do this, and we'll discuss more of why you would want to do this as we go through the demo. Let's move into our checkpoint demo now. In this demonstration, we are going to use a checkpoint file to set a baseline of system events that logparser has parsed. When we next run the same logparser query, logparser will only pick up events that have occurred after we ran the query the first time. we will return to the example that we used earlier, where we parsed through the event log and parsed out all the messages to the W3SVC in IIS. We want to know what the system added to the event log since the last time we looked. Then we want to send that information in an email to an administrator for the IIS server. This is the file with the errors and warnings and informational entries from the event log. This was the file we generated before, so it will serve as our baseline for what has happened since we last generated a report from the event log. Let's find out what will happen if we use this same query but with the log parser checkpoint feature. The checkpoint is an optional input parameter. We call the checkpoint file checkpoint.lpc. When we run this query, we will get the exact same return that we did when we ran the query previously. We have generated no requests to the server, so nothing has changed. In addition, we had no checkpoint file to serve as a control point for the log parser. We have a site, though, that we can use to generate more IIS entries in the event log. It is an application that includes several pages that generate hangs or that crash the IIS worker process. Let's use it to cause a crash. When we look at the event viewer, there is a new warning from the W3 service that says a process caused the default application pool to crash, and it gives us the process identifier. Now, if we run our query again, we should only get this latest warning in our report file. We run our query once more, and now if we open the HTML file, we find that there is only this error in our report. This is our incremental change from our previous viewing of this report and the current. What could you do with this information? Well, you could set up log parser to run periodically, say every half hour, and when a new warning or error occurred on IIS, you could set up automatic notifications to your server administrator. You could use email or another alert of some kind, depending on what you prefer. Let's quickly summarise what we've gone over today. In this session, we have looked at how log parser can harness the flexibility and power of SQL so that you can create complex and specific queries to get at the data that you require from your logs. It has many applications in data mining. It is up to you to ask what it will retrieve for you. Log parser can parse almost any data source on your server. With the additional input and output formats in log parser 2.2, there is really nothing more that you need to do to build custom auditing and monitoring for your systems. Log parser can read most log files, text documents, and standard out text streams. It can use these to generate results in a huge number of formats and make them useful and intelligible. To get more information on the products and technologies we have covered today, we have some online resources available that can help you. For the most comprehensive technical information on Microsoft products, visit the main TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/technet. Additionally, visit www.microsoft.com/technet/ad-23 for more information on books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. There are a number of other resources that are available from Microsoft. The Microsoft Internet Information Services 6.0 Resource Kit from Microsoft Press contains some information about the log parser tool. There is also a good book about log parser from another publisher. The Microsoft Log Parser Toolkit from Syngress Press offers ready-to-use log parser scripts along with in-depth instruction on how to use the log parser tool. There is also an assessment program available that can help you test your knowledge. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills for implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The skills assessment includes a personalized learning plan, which includes links to Microsoft official curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft Press books, and other Microsoft Learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including security and patch management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and VisualStudio.net. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you differentiate yourself from the next candidate? The Microsoft certification program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available. Starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional, you can choose to go and become a fully certified system administrator or system engineer, or a desktop specialist. Away from the infrastructure side, the MCDBA certification covers the SQL Server products. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently that you might find interesting. To help explain this in more detail, I'd like to introduce Caroline McGrath, IT Professional Marketing Manager, to cover these changes in more detail.
TechNet Plus subscription introduces its newest offering, TechNet Plus Direct. With TechNet Plus Direct, subscribers get all of the benefits of TechNet Plus for 30% less. Subscribers receive fast, easy access to the tools and information they need to get the most out of Microsoft solutions. A subscription provides IT professionals with immediate online access to all the essential technical resources they need to resolve technical issues faster, get hands-on experience with the latest Microsoft technologies, and build technical skills. Subscribers now get immediate access to all their subscription features in one convenient location, our new online benefits portal. Subscribers get access through subscriber download to Microsoft full version software for evaluation and beta releases without time or feature limits. No more waiting for media shipments. This includes Microsoft Server, client, and application software titles. With full version software, subscribers can make informed decisions about new technologies and deployments at their own pace. For the toughest technical questions, a TechNet Plus subscription also comes with two complimentary professional support incidents. Subscribers can talk to a Microsoft support professional to quickly resolve their mission-critical technical issues fast. TechNet Plus also provides access to over 100 managed newsgroups. Subscribers can exchange ideas with other professionals and get expert answers to their technical questions within the next business day, guaranteed. In addition, subscribers can also chat with a Microsoft Search Assistant online for help finding the technical resources they need or for assistance with non-technical questions. Subscribers also get access to technical information and tools, including the TechNet Plus library containing the knowledge base, security updates, service packs, resource kits, and more. TechNet Plus offers proven value that far exceeds its cost. The two complimentary professional support incidents alone more than offset the cost of a TechNet Plus subscription. Add to that the evaluation and beta software and other technical resources, and TechNet Plus clearly boosts productivity. Every IT professional on the team needs one. TechNet Plus is available exclusively online without media shipments. For more information, please visit technet.microsoft.com/subscriptions. There are a number of free community resources available on TechNet. You can attend a regular chat with members of the product groups or technology specialists from Microsoft, or you can attend a webcast where you can see sessions like the one you've just watched, but presented live and with the ability to ask questions as you go. You can also read or post questions in public newsgroups. The newsgroup page lists the available groups and provides an interface from which you can read and post messages. TechNet Plus subscribers can use these groups to post questions, and through their subscription ID, are guaranteed a response from Microsoft support professionals and IT experts by the next business day. The main community site provides a comprehensive list of resources available, more than we can cover on this slide, and the page has some dynamic features with continually updated content. The events page provides dates and details about attending a live TechNet event. These events take place around the world and provide the opportunity for you to talk to Microsoft specialists face-to-face. And finally, the TechNet columns provide a variety of topics written by industry authors. And with that, thank you for taking the time to listen to this TechNet session.